Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Got a special guest here today, and it's David Ortiz, Big Poppy. First of all, who is the first guy to ever call you Big Poppy? Do you remember?
I used to call Poppy everybody because I'm bad remembering people's name, and all of a sudden, Jerry Remy, an announcer, he called me Big Poppy for the first time, always. So that's how it started, and that's how we are right now.
You know, we were joking last night during the broadcast that the Astros gave you that cowboy hat beforehand. We were saying you should have given them something. The way you faced the Astros, you've hit 350 in your career in a short span. That was a cool gesture, though, wasn't it? A cowboy hat.
That was great. That was great. Really very thankful, you know, and humbly say that I really appreciate the fact that our organization take their time to say goodbye to me. That's something that I will never forget about, and I'm going to wear the hat.
Yeah.
I will.
It's going to replace a hat that you got from one of your teammates. He gave you a cowboy hat, Clay Buchholz,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Clay bought me a hat, a cowboy hat, 2014.
Yep.
And I wear it. I like it.
Yeah.
But the color is like beige.
Uh-huh.
This one is black, so I wear everything black pretty much always, so... You know it's going to be a replacement at some point.
that one looked like Big Poppy.
There you go.
You hit me really well.
I did?
Yeah, you really did. And a lot of home runs, maybe 30 at-bats, but I struck you out one time.
Okay.
And you announced your retirement. When I struck you out, did you think about retiring back then?
Hey, you strike out a lot of guys, okay?
No,
so don't feel that bad.
What was the big transformation for you, David? Minnesota Twins release you, and you had a pretty good year. What was the big transformation where you took it to another level? Do you remember anything specific?
Yeah, I started playing more often.
Okay.
You know, once I never got no more than 400 at-bats when I played with the Twins. Once I got here, I started getting 500 at-bats, and you saw what I did in 400 at-bats when I was with the Twins. I hit 20 homers. I got 75 RBIs.
That's
so,
right.
Hey, guys, was what, 25, 26 when they released me.
Right.
You know, the players, we barely walking into our prime at that age.
That's
so
right.
Once I got here, you know, I found a new, different work ethic because I have a lot of veteran players here, superstars, that I started watching them very closely. And plus the rest of just, you know, threw me out there.
Yeah.
Here, get 500 at bat, see what happened.
There you go. Kirby Puckett was one of the veterans when you were in the clubhouse in Minnesota. What did he teach you?
Kirby was, besides everything, you know, like a father, a brother, a big brother to all of us, not just to me, Torrey Hunter, Eddie Guardado, Troy Hawkins, Matt Lawton, Jack Jones. You know, all of us get really well along with Kirby. Rest in peace. You know, Kirby was... He was working in the front office once I got to Minnesota. He wasn't playing anymore, but he was like he was there with us every day, you know what I'm saying, and have that love for the game and respect the game.
And it was became pretty natural for you to kind of do the same thing once you got established in your career. Everybody talks about your leadership qualities, pretty much the same as Kirby. Did you take some of those things that he did?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, to be successful in this game, there's a lot of things that you got to put together. But the most important thing, you got to work hard. You got to understand that this is a tough game to play, and respect it as well. You know, and make sure that, you know, in this clubhouse right here, you know, we have a lot of young talented kids.
Yeah.
And they'll you know, look up to me. So I want to make sure, you know, they understand the importance of being focused, and they have any question, they can come to me. You know, I'm gonna try to have an answer. You know, this game, I don't think anyone ever have been able to figure everything out at this game. You know what I'm saying? You playing this game for a long time. You know that on your best day you go 0-for-4, or on your best day throwing the ball you can get nobody out. You know how that goes. So I just keep on telling them, you know, try not to change things. You know, you are natural at doing something.
Yeah.
So keep working on that. Try to max that up the best you can, and you're gonna have better results.
Well, you're one of the best of all time. It's going to be sad when you finally retire, but good luck the rest of the way. It's been a blast. Thanks, David Ortiz.
Hey, thank you very much.
Get connected with your Astros at astros.com/radio.
Robert Ford joined by Astros coach Gary Pettis, third base coach, outfield coach, base running coach. Let's start with the outfield, which has been playing very, very well defensively, tied for the league lead in outfield assists with 6, picked up another one yesterday. What's been the key to having these outfielders get all these assists? Obviously, talent's a big part of it, but not just the talent.
Well, no. You know, at spring training, we start out doing some drills and stuff that we think the drills will take us to what's going to happen during the game. So when we're doing stuff in the outfield, we're working on stuff that will happen during the game. For instance, we work on balls that are hit down the lines and do the reverse spin as Kobe Rasmus did last night. And then we also work on balls that would be hit to his left where he would have to backhand that play. And we do this with all the outfielders. And then we also work on the one-hop throw to second base, which is probably, in my mind, one of the most important things that an outfielder should be able to do, because it allows the fielder who he's throwing the ball to catch the ball and apply a tag in one swift motion.
And, you know, last year, I think StatCast said the Astros outfield average velocity of their throws was the highest in baseball. So that helps, but it's not just that. Also, hitting the cutoff man, as you know, important as well.
Oh, no doubt about it. And we preach controlling 90 feet. And if we can stop a guy from getting an extra base, it helps us. It helps our pitcher. There's less of a threat of a run to score. So they understand how important it is. And at throwing a baseball, the old saying is, if you don't use it, you lose it. So our guys, they work on it just about every day.
How do you strike that balance? Because, you know, you want to obviously throw regularly, as you mentioned, but obviously don't want to throw too much and wear yourself out for games.
Well, and that's where the player has to use his common sense as well. I will ask them if they feel like throwing, and I hope that they would say no if they don't feel like throwing. But sometimes, in my mind, I think they may have thrown too much, but in their mind, they want to do it. So then sometimes I have to just take it away from them and just say, hey, we're not throwing at all today. But they're so used to it now that to make 8 to 10 throws during batting practice is nothing to them.
George Springer, another diving catch yesterday in right field. Seems like it's becoming routine for him. There are not too many guys that have his package of athleticism and have it play the way it does in the outfield.
Well, George is a special player on defense, on offense, and on the bases. And in my mind, I thought he was on his way to winning a Gold Glove last year until the injury happened. And he's picked up right where he left off last year. I mean, in my mind, he's probably one of the better right fielders in the game.
You know, I mentioned you're also the base running coach, and we've seen the Astros run into some outs early in the year. Saw Springer get thrown out trying to steal third base in yesterday's ball game. And, you know, obviously the team's been struggling, and guys are trying to find ways to help this team win some ball games. Do you sometimes see that on the bases where guys maybe are pressing a little bit and maybe that leads to them running into some outs?
Well, it's not pressing. It's just trying to do something to help the team win. And and in doing so, at times they've done it at the inappropriate moment.
Right.
But they're trying to do something to show that, you know, we are still trying to win this game, and it just happened to not fall in our favor. But overall, I think we're gonna be better. It's just something that, when things aren't going right, anything that doesn't go right is overanalyzed.
Yeah.
See, so and that's the way this game is. When everything's going right, if a guy makes a mistake and you come back and you win the ball game, it's not really looked upon as much. It is by us as a coaching staff,
right,
but maybe to the media and everybody else watching it, it doesn't become a big deal. But when things aren't going right and you do make mistakes on the bases, or in the outfield, or pitching, or hitting, it becomes magnified. And we know that the guys are trying, and we hope that we can right the ship soon.
Astros coach Gary Pettis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The Houston Astros.
Play, and it is! Mike Fiers has done it! A no-hitter!
On your radio.
That ball's clobbered! Left field! See ya!
All summer long.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros win the AL Wild Card game.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.